Father, we sing that song to your glory, God. We need you. We need you to help us find our way. And God, as we sit here as your people, and Lord, we know that we are the sheep of your pasture. And so, God, we come proclaiming you the Lord of our lives and the Lord of this church. You are everything, God. You are all supreme. And God, we trust in you completely for everything. And as we come to you, Lord, we come with even the needs that are within our own hearts. And God, even here, there may be those who have needs within themselves, God, right within their heart. Maybe they're hurting. God, maybe they're grieving. Maybe they're in sorrow. God, maybe there's joy there. Maybe there's jubilation. God, we come and we present to you our very self as living sacrifices, and we pray that we are holy and pleasing in your sight. Father, we are so grateful that we can pray. And we pray for all those health needs. And God, you know every health need that there is. We know, God, we know that you know what is required in each situation. And Lord, yet we lift these people to you. God, they're all listed in our bulletin. And there are many more. And Father, we pray for your healing. And we pray, God, for not just healing physically, but healing emotionally and healing spiritually, God. And we pray, Father, that you would even lift those up who couldn't even be here today, God. We think of Mary Warkentin, and we pray for her. And we pray, Father, that she would be encouraged today. And also we lift, Lord, those who are grieving. We continue to pray for the Hewitt family, and we pray for the Stobies. And Father, we pray for the Harms family, and God, is for Dwayne's church as they walk through now a process where even a church is missing their pastor. God, we pray for your will to be done in all these situations. Lord, we are so excited as a church come together and heard of what you're doing in Belgium and in other countries, and we pray for Patrick and Rhea, and God, we pray your anointing upon them. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would be their fortress, that, Lord, you would give them safety. And God, we pray that you would break through the Francophone countries so that, Lord, your word will be preached and that many would come to know you. Father, we pray for them right now. And we present them to you and pray, Father, that you would give them courage, that you would ordain their lips as they speak your truth. Father, we praise you for them. And Lord, as we come as a church, we praise you for what you're doing. We praise you, Lord, how you're unifying us and keeping us in the direction that you want us to go. And Father, we pray for the 29th of August for that meeting with the city. And we pray, Lord, already that you're preparing the hearts of the mayor and counselors and administration. And God, that you would as well just give us wisdom as we and Caleb walk into that meeting. Father, it's exciting to do your will. And so we pray that we would not deviate from anything that you would want us to do, even to the smallest detail. We just pray your blessing now and anointing upon us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, thank you, worship team. Wow. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Yeah, Drew's excited. Are the rest of you? Right on. It's great to be here. I'm so thrilled and excited. I gotta blabber a little bit while I pull my notes out here. It's great. Well, we've just walked through our series on the fruit of the Spirit and the impact that the fruit has on our life. And now I want us to focus on what impact the fruit has on other people's lives through us and togetherness, what togetherness brings. And it's the most critical element any church can have is togetherness. Truly, the Spirit of God shouts togetherness. The most powerful, you've heard this, the most powerful number is, well, you haven't heard it, is one. When we see together in noise, when we're together in knowing God's will, the power and the Spirit of God is our directive, we are unstoppable. Did you ever think of that? It would be profitable for each one of us to realize that we need each other. Coming together is only the beginning. Working together produces the victory. Togetherness takes on different forms. In fact, I think if we truly thought about the word in a room this size, and many of us here, there would be varied pictures. We'd have various thoughts, various pictures that come in our mind, which would define togetherness. And I've gathered a few of them. In fact, let's put these up here. A couple of golf. Isn't that nice? I thought you'd go, ah. Oh. But let's keep going. There we go. See? There it is. Okay, let's keep going. Let's. Ah. Oh. Isn't that sweet? Look at that. That's almost like me kissing Patrick. Sorry. Anyway, okay. Isn't that cute? They're doing their homework. Yeah. Let's go, next one. Ah, oh, I mean, come on. I mean, babies there. Let's, next one. You got to see this. This is together. Look at this. Do you ever wonder why they call this a grapefruit? I mean, look at it. It's really nothing like a grape. She says, they call you a grandfather, but look at you. You're not really all that grand. No. Togetherness. Now, that's the key. Togetherness. I want to consult good old Webster as we begin. Togetherness. What does togetherness mean? Look at this. Togetherness means jointly. It means as one. It means mutually. It means collectively. In fact, if you look at the antonym of togetherness, what does the antonym say? It says alone. Togetherness is what it's all about. The Christian faith is all about togetherness. So this morning, I want to jump right in together, and I want to look at Proverbs 3, 1-6. And, you know, Ian, hold back. I mean, I know you love the book of Proverbs, and this is where I'm going today. It's great. By the way, that song, that just hit, that was right here. I mean, this is it. This must have been based on this, because, man, it was right there. Anyway, I didn't need to preach after that. That was a great song. But look at these words. Proverbs 3, 1-6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I want to tell you what knowing God's will requires. Knowing God's will requires, first of all, total commitment. Total commitment. When you read these verses, four different times the issue of total commitment arises. Now, look over this. Look at verse 1. My child, remember my teaching. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Now, my child, remember my teaching instructions, and you underline it, and obey them. Obey them half-heartedly? No. Obey them occasionally? No. Obey them only if it fits my needs? No. Obey them completely. Total commitment. Look at verse 3. Total commitment. Let love and loyalty, let love and faithfulness kind of stick around you for a little while. Maybe sit with you once in a while. No, never leave you. See, the Century Version puts it this way. It says, let love and loyalty occasionally show. No, it says, let love and loyalty always show. Total commitment. Verse 5, with a portion of your heart, says the CEV. No, it says, with all of your heart. And you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Finally, look at verse 6. It says, in some of your ways. Pardon? I can't hear you. In all your ways. In all your ways. Acknowledge him in all, always let him lead you. George Truett said this, and he said it very well. He said, to know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. Now together, we need to be completely committed to the things of the Lord. See, that when we talk about commitment, usually we think of weddings. You know, the commitment that a couple makes with one. And I'm lucky because I think I'm the wedding king of PA. I get to do all these weddings, and I enjoy doing weddings. But when we talk about commitment, often we talk about a couple that they're making this decision to be married. They're making to togetherness to one another, and I'm leading up to a joke. I hope you can't handle this. Can I tell you the story? A doctor was addressing a large audience in Tampa, and he said this. He said, "The material we put into our stomachs is enough to have killed most of us sitting here years ago." He goes on, he says, "Red meat's awful. Soft drinks corrode your stomach lining. High-fat diets can be disastrous, and none of us realizes the long-term harm caused by the germs in our drinking water. But there's one thing," he goes on, the doctor says, "there's one thing that is the most dangerous of all, and we all have or will eat it. Can anyone tell me what food it is that causes the most grief and suffering for years after eating it?" And after several seconds of quiet, and 75-year-old man sitting in the front row kind of gently raised his hand and softly said, "Oh, wedding cake?" We need to be totally committed to God, to the things of God. We cannot deviate from Him. We cannot do without Him. We can only walk daily with Him, totally committed. So knowing God's will requires total commitment, but it also requires recognizing God as your source. If you look at verse 5 here, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Let me tell you right now, if you do not have God as your source, I want to talk to you. In fact, if you do not have God as your source, you talk to one of the pastors or the elders today, you are not, nor will you ever be a success if you don't have God as your source. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you do it for. If God is not your source in this life, if He is not your focus, nothing else matters. Together, we need to recognize the authority of God. He is the ultimate. There is nothing greater in this world. There is no one who can fill what He can. There is no greater giver of peace. There is no more power required. There is no ability given. Everything is God's. It's all about Him. It's not about me, not about you. It's about Him. See, the vision that we have as a church, I got to tell you this. I'll let you in on a secret. The vision that we have as a church is not humanly possible. Did you ever think of that? How can we as a church humanly do what we've been called to do? What we've been sanctioned by the Lord to do? Well, let me tell you. Let me just tell you. Because we as a church together have prayed, we've fasted, we've listened, we are moving in the path, the road that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We move ahead, we knowing and trusting that God will look after every detail, even the smallest detail. But because of that commitment, listen to this, because of that commitment, because we acknowledge our Lord as the source, you need to know this, Satan will work overtime, friends. Because the enemy does not like our trust and faith in God. Satan doesn't like it when God's people work together for one common purpose that brings God glory. The enemy does not enjoy seeing God glorified by miracles, by achievements, by circumstances that only can occur by the power of God. So the enemy will attempt his hardest to destroy the very thing that Christ gave His life for, the church. And I want to declare before you this morning that God is and will continue to be glorified at First Baptist Church, Prince Albert. Amen? You got it. God is good. And I don't deserve it. That's what Olga said, and I think she's right. Man. I told you I'd get that in there, Olga, didn't I? I told you. And I did it. Yeah. Knowing God's will requires, first of all, total commitment. It requires realizing God is your source and understanding God's word. If you look at that word, first of all, I want you to, that word understand, it means to know. It means to comprehend. It means to learn. We're to know God's word. We're to learn God's word. If you look at verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Start right here. See, let love and loyalty always show like a necklace. How are you at loving? How about loyalty? Bind them. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It says, verse 3, love faces, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You get a picture. I was trying to picture this. Picture a leather strap holding a heavy tablet with the words that say, obey God and trust him. Now, wouldn't we look crazy doing that? But wouldn't it be fun just to do it once? You know, have that big tablet. You know, it's something we wouldn't forget if we did it that way. But instead of tablets, we have Post-its. You know, something we can scribble on and kind of pull off real quick if it just doesn't suit our plan or suit us. You know, we have that Post-it note, you know. Whoever invented that must have made a lot of money. But we just rip it off and we grab for another Post-it. Wait a minute, I've got to change that a little bit so I have a little bit more freedom there. And we try to put in what we want with the Post-it. We need to tablet, not Post-note it. How do we do that? How do we understand what God values? Jesus answered that for us. He said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can't live just on bread. In fact, can I tell you a story? Why do you giggle? Ken? All right, thank you. Rare book collector. Met a guy who said he'd just thrown out an old Bible and packed away for generations. He said somebody named Guten something had printed it. It's a book collector. What? Not Gutenberg? I mean, you have just thrown away one of the most famous books ever printed. One copy recently sold at an auction for over $4 million. The other guy's still unmoved. He just, nah. Doesn't matter, my copy wouldn't have bought a dime. So. Some guy named Martin Luther scribbled notes all over it. See? We all can relate to that because often we don't understand what the Word of God can do for us. Every one of us knows what it's like for God to walk into our life and tell us to do something that we thought we were already doing. And we can say, but Lord, I don't think I really need a lesson here, you know? In fact, if you apply this to today, to your life, what areas do you feel secure in? Or what area do you feel secure about? Is God prying your fingers apart? In fact, when I was at the Quest and speaking at family camp, I remember talking about letting go of the garbage and grabbing a hold of the rescue line that God is throwing out to you. And that evening, we call it evening encounter, and allow time for personal testimony. And this grandmother said, wow! She said, I learned a great lesson, she said. I learned to let go of my children so that I can hold on to the rescue rope. And it was God prying, and she actually said this, God was prying my fingers apart this morning when you talked, Pastor. And she went on, she said, it was like you were bawling me out, you know, anyway. But prying your fingers, is God prying, is he trying to pry your fingers apart? So that you can get rid of that stuff that's in the way of this. See, because we need more than ever to trust the Word of God. In our day and age, we need this. In fact, I will tell you what God's teaching provides. God's teaching provides this. Provides, first of all, a fulfilled life. If you look at verse 2 here. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. God's teaching provides favor with God and others. If you look at verse 4, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And verse 4 also expounds that God's teaching provides success because you will win favor. See, you got to spend time looking through these pages. It will renovate the way you think and the way you trust. Take God at his word. Don't listen to me. Listen to him. Search the scriptures. Learn. Study. That's successful living. Truly, that is. Knowing God's will requires total commitment, recognizing God as your source, understanding God's word, surrendering everything to God. Now, Luke has something to say about such statements. He said, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. This applies to anything in our life. Anything. Now, it applies to our job, it applies to our ministry, it applies to our money, it applies to our family, it applies to our very living. What did Luke mean? If you are not giving sacrificially with what you have now, you will not give sacrificially when you have more. Why? Because there's a spiritual principle at work in our lives, friends. And that principle is shown time and time and time again. It's not how much we have of the world that dictates our generosity toward God, but how much God has of us. Let me say that for you again. It's not how much we have of the world that dictates our generosity towards God, but how much God has of us. Now, here's the problem in a nutshell. It comes down to a question. The question for the Christian is very simple. Am I going to live like the world, basically trust in myself, become independent, do my own thing, or am I going to be a trusting, obedient, dependent person on God? Because that's the issue. I need to surrender everything to God. I need to, and we need to do this together. God has this whole body in His hand. It's all about Him. One of the things that excites me about our church is that we have a vision that's beyond the local church. So when I look toward our vision, when I pick up the pamphlet, you know, that went out just a month ago, and I look through that, when I look at toward our vision of what God has in store for us, we're not having a church for ourselves and sitting in our pew and kind of gumming our way until Jesus comes, you know. We're going out there to not only help ourselves to grow in our life, but to reach our community. See, the vision is not for us. The vision's for the kingdom. Amen? And that's the only kind of vision that will ever last, is a vision for the kingdom. And we need to. No, in fact, we must surrender together everything to God. Everything is His, and everything is for Him. Amen? I want to tell you what knowing God's will requires. It requires total commitment, recognizing God as your source, understanding God's word, surrendering everything to God, finally trusting in God completely. Trusting in God completely. See, this passage is only one of many that just reeks of trusting in God for everything. God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from Him. He's sovereign. We need to trust in Him completely. In fact, I think of, can I tell you, I just got to tell you this story. It's just amazing what happened. My mom and dad my grew corn. You know, anybody here know what corn is? A few of you, the rest of you talk to them. All right. Corn. So there's this tall corn, you know, big corn stalks. You know what it's like? You know? Well, all of a sudden corn was disappearing from the corn stalks. I mean, gone, like totally, completely missing. And my parents, we can't understand what's happening here. All this corn is gone. Well, they were out and they were, you know, thought, well, we may as have some corn for supper. So they're pulling the corn husks and, you know, gathering the corn. All of a sudden, they heard some rustling the other side of the corn. What is going on here? So they make their way through the corn, and, you know, all of a sudden, wait, there's two kids. And they're pulling corn, putting in a bucket. And, you know, my dad goes, hey. The kids go, hey. Woo. You know, hey. Dad goes, what are you guys doing? Well, what are you guys doing? And he goes, well, we're getting corn for supper. Ah, so are we. This is where we always get our corn for supper. See, sometimes, do you get it? Sometimes we think that we can hide things from God. We can't. In fact, I love the little story about the mother telling her daughter a little bit about the facts of life. She came to age to understand some of those things. The little girl was just shocked. Ah! Mother finished. The little girl said, Mom, does God know these things? You know, God knows them all. He is the source. In fact, as I was going through the Word of God this week, I realized that there are so many places in the Bible that tell us that without God, it's impossible. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that we cannot change our hair or even add hair to our head. Some of you would like to, but we can't without God being the source. Matthew 6 tells us that we cannot add a single moment to our life without Him. James 4 reminds us that we cannot even say with certainty what's going to happen tomorrow. And Acts 27 tells us that we cannot save ourselves from disaster without God. We can't do any of this without God. It's very humbling to recognize that where we are in the whole scheme of things. Who do I trust in? Is it your job? Is it other people? Is it your financial picture? Is it your ministry? I have to tell you that our human tendency is we trust in God's instruments of provision rather than in God Himself. And often we trust in prayer, not the designer of prayer, and we trust in ministry rather than the provider of the ministry. We trust the job instead of realizing that God is the provider of the job, and we trust our health instead of realizing that God's the provider of our health. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or even think. God's a marvelous God. Because Paul said in Romans that He is on my side, on your side, and He knows what is best for me. It's only one thing that you and I have to do, friends. And it's so simple. I happen to believe that God's will is very easy to know. And I'm not trying to oversimplify this today, but I believe that we have one thing to do, and then we can relax and just enjoy where God's taken us. Together, let's put God first. That's the key to unlocking the will of God. Put Him first. Coming together is only the beginning. Working together produces the victory. Let's stand as we pray. Great. I'm going to say before we pray that, you know, if you really want to know the source, Him, better, please talk to one of the pastors or the elders. We're here for you. Just don't leave without talking to us if you want that source. Let's pray. Father, as we stand together in Your presence this morning, we are on a journey that you've laid out, God. We want to make our very life count. Lord, I pray for those who are just messing up, inviting confusion, darkness to fog their life. Holy Spirit, speak to them right now. Give them a desire only for You. May they let go and give up their wants and their desires, those things that get in the way that stops them and kind of trips them up. Nothing clouds Your will, Lord, like disobedience. God, may we not be disobedient to You. Lord, help all of us to put You first, to love You with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In doing that, God, may we just relax, not be paranoid anymore about ourselves, our very self. May we relax, God, rest assured that You have said the steps of a good person are ordered by You. Lord, I praise You for the wonderful work You're doing here at First. Never sensed in a greater way the work that You are doing right now for our people. We stand in Your presence. We give You the honor and the glory and the praise, for only You deserve it. God, may Your grace cover every person within these walls. Put a hedge around our families. Put a canopy of grace over our heads. Put Your arms beneath us, God. Just give us strength in times of weakness. And may we run a race in which we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, the one who's begun a good work within us, not just individually, but together as a church. God, You're so faithful to see us to the end. It's in that name that we give the glory and the honor and the power. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You've been beautiful to minister to. Please have a seat.